Please stand. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Good morning. It is a joy to gather together on this Easter morning as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to gather together as his disciples on this day. We are overjoyed that you are here. We are overjoyed to be together. And now we come before him and his word and rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor due his name. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor due his name. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Alleluia, alleluia.
Oh,
have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The second reading is from Acts chapter 13, starting with the 26th verse. And Paul declared to the people of Antioch, "Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' This is the word of the Lord."
Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While the women were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 disciples and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and the disciples did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. You may be seated.
Thank you.
they laid Jesus in the tomb on Friday, he had been there before. Not to the same degree, not to the same effect. He had not been to the tomb, not as the Son of God in the flesh having died. But the tomb on Friday is reminiscent of another time in history. Another time Jesus visited a tomb, or at least what should have been a tomb. It's a one-time event in history, and it's in your bulletins, and it's the year 585 BC, 585 years before Christ was born, and it's recorded in the book of Daniel. The Jews were in exile, had been brought out of Egypt and dragged across the desert to Babylon. They're in the kingdom of Babylon. And I want you to watch for Jesus to appear there, but also see how often Jesus experienced the same kind of suffering that we see in this reading. So Daniel chapter 3. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans or Babylonians came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image that you made. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps and the prefects, the governors and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God." This is God's word. Not what you expect on Easter, and yet that reading is selected for Easter Tuesday, so I thought we'd get a head start. It's a reading for us to meditate upon just what was going on and just who was that fourth man in the furnace and how that one-time event in history pointed ahead to the once-for-all-time event in the cross and the empty tomb. You see, that one-time event, that is when Jesus knew the tomb, because that is who appeared there and was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, walking in the fire, protecting them so that they could go free. But aside from knowing that there was Jesus, and really it's the pre-incarnate Jesus, he had not taken on flesh, where 580 some years before he would come and be born, but there is Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, appearing to these men and protecting them in the furnace. But aside from knowing that, there's this connection to Easter. And why reflect on that today? Why reflect on this today? Because it's like on the cover of your bulletins. This is the truth for us. The truth that is in the chapter of Daniel, the truth that is of Easter, this is the truth for us. Jesus Christ is risen today, having come through Friday's fiery furnace to redeem and rescue his people. You, today, have confidence in this same Jesus. He will buy you back. He will redeem you from your sin. He will rescue you from death. I mean, of course, seeing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faithful to God, it inspires us to be faithful. And it does raise questions about just when have we been faithless. But the story isn't so much about those three men being so faithful. I have no idea, but I doubt that they were perfect. Last we heard, only Jesus has been perfect. The story isn't so much just about those three men being faithful. It's really a story of God being faithful. Faithful to his people, not abandoning them to the fire. Not in that one-time event in history, and not in the once-for-all-time event in the cross and the empty tomb. Jesus Christ is risen today, having come through Friday's fiery furnace to redeem and rescue his people. When King Nebuchadnezzar peered into the flames, and he saw that fourth figure, and saw the three men now unbound, he was forced to recognize that there is a higher authority than his authority, a divine one over all things. And this is the truth for us. Our temptation to faithlessness is confronted by God's supreme authority and power. And so if we have struggled with faithlessness, we come to this story in Daniel, and we come to this story on Easter morning and see that God has been faithful, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, having come through Friday's fiery furnace to redeem and rescue us, his people. And King Nebuchadnezzar recognized that God saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three men who trusted in this God. It was their faith, their trust, their loyalty to God. Loyalty to him as the one and only one who can save. We do not gather on this Easter as those who will always be rescued from every challenge and trial of this life. We don't have an idea that God will just rescue us from every kind of challenge that we will face simply because we have faith. That's not what we can learn from the furnace story. Rather, what we see is God's faithfulness, that he will not abandon us. He will always be with us through every valley, every challenge. No matter what happens, there is only one God. No other God who can save, no other hope. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saying to the king. They said, our king can deliver us from this furnace. We have confidence in his power and authority. But even if not king, even if God's will is that we die in that furnace, know this, we will not serve your gods or any golden image. We will not serve another God because we know there is only one true God. We don't presume to know how God will bring us through challenges and trials of this life, but we know this, there is only one God and one hope. Jesus, who has been in that tomb of the furnace, Jesus, who is in the tomb after Friday, and Jesus, who has emerged from the tomb to give us new life. Notice something. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the furnace, the fourth figure, the fourth man, doesn't. We're not told anything about what happens. But it's not really a surprise, is it, that Christ, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, stayed in that furnace? Because it reminds us that he stayed on the cross, stayed in the tomb to die, stayed so that he would go through that Friday's fiery furnace for us. He went through all kinds of trials so that he could redeem us, buy us back, rescue us. Jesus stands in. He stays in. He remains faithful to his people and to his promise. And while today we are pondering anew what our Savior can do, and while we contemplate what it means to believe and trust and be faithful to him, while we contemplate those things, Jesus continues to stand in. Does the suffering, dying, rising, the work of salvation, Jesus Christ is risen today, having come through Friday's fiery furnace to redeem and rescue his people. We might not face such clear choices, worship a golden image or die. We might not face such clear, unambiguous choices like that. Our challenges to remain faithful are much more ambiguous. They're subtle. They look nice. They look correct to just be a little quieter and a little less talking about our faith. And it's gradual. It's not like Jesus or furnace. It comes upon us gradually. But could it be that today God is calling you to leave this Easter worship, praying and asking his Spirit to give you a growing confidence in him and in his faithfulness to you? For today you have heard that because of Jesus, because of the cross and empty tomb, that on the last day, on the judgment day, that when Christ returns to destroy this sinful, broken, dying world, destroy it with fire, you have heard that you will emerge. Spiritually, you will emerge from the furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That fourth figure will come again and rescue us from this place, and we will be unbound, unburned, unsinged, unsmoky, and unharmed. King Nebuchadnezzar confessed that there must be something to this God of the Jews. And from what you have heard and seen today, what would it mean for you to grow in confidence, taking a stand that there is something about this Jesus? How might your life take on a new decree, a renewed faithfulness to Jesus? Because Jesus Christ is risen today, having come through Friday's fiery furnace to redeem and rescue his people. And that means you have the promise of being his forever people who are unbound, unburned, unsinged, unsmoky, unharmed, able to rejoice in God's faithfulness to you in all things. Amen. Our offering is now received, and take this moment to thank you again for being with us in worship. If you're visiting with us today here to worship or here with worshiping with family, we ask that you take greetings back to your congregation, greetings in the name of Christ. If you're visiting with us and do not have a church home, we would love to know how we can support you and encourage you in your faith. If you haven't already done so, you can fill out one of those cards that are in the rows, or fill one out after the service. Make sure you get that to one of our ushers, because I'd love to be back in touch with you. We also thank so many people today who have gathered and have worked together to put this worship together, our musicians, our elders, lots of other people. And then also we thank, a little ahead of time, we thank the people who have been working in the kitchen, and we will celebrate with breakfast very soon. But first, we join together in the meal that the Lord has given to us, the Lord's Supper. And if you are visiting with us and you have been baptized and taught and believe as we do, then you are welcome to commune. And we believe that the bread is the body of Christ and the wine is the blood of Christ shed for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. This is the teaching of the real presence, that in, with, and under the bread and wine, that Christ is here for us. If this is a new teaching to you or different than the confession that you hold, we ask that you wait to commune until we've had more of a chance to talk. But to come forward still today, to kneel at the rail, cross your arms, and receive a blessing from the Lord. We continue in prayer. Please stand. Lord, may we always give our gifts to you as a thank offering for the magnificent gift of Jesus that you so generously gave to us. In the name of Jesus. We continue in prayer. Father, we give you thanks this day for the creation of hope through your Son, Jesus, that you have given us hope beyond sin and death, that you have given us hope of rescue from the devil, that you have given us the hope of eternal life. Lord, we give you thanks for your creation, for creating life and then seeing and promising how you will renew your creation. We give you thanks for life, for all the blessings that we receive each day. May we come before you in thankfulness this day. We give you thanks also, Lord, for your church, the way you have given your word to your church to pass that word on from generation to generation so that we may know your gospel and so that we may know this faith. We ask that you continue to strengthen us in that faith through your Holy Spirit. Lord, be with us in times of conflict, violence, and fear, in wars, and in the face of terror. We ask that you will protect and guard us, that you will walk with us in those days, and even as we face challenges, may we know your faithfulness to us, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, be with us in times of sickness, sorrow, challenges emotionally and financially and facing challenges each day, times of death and grief. We pray that you would walk with us in those things also, Lord. Those concerns and cares are in our hearts, Lord. And the Holy Spirit cries out to you on our behalf. We know the challenges that we face, and yet help us to see that you are the faithful one who goes before us, ever before us, behind us, and among us. We give you thanks, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We continue in confessing our sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pause in silence to reflect on our personal sins that trouble us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have loved you. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We continue with the order of the Lord's Supper. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Passover Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share that peace with those around you. I invite you to remain standing as we join in singing the Agnus Dei, which is the refrain from the hymn we just sang. You may be seated.
We'll be right back.
Please stand. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and risen Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Be seated. I want you to know that Christ candle that's on the altar is still lit. It was lit on Good Friday and has remained lit and remains lit now to remind us that Christ is faithful and he will ever remain our Lord. Amen. Thank you again for being with us, and it is good to gather together as his disciples. Invite you down to the fellowship hall for breakfast and enjoy that time of fellowship. If you ordered an Easter lily, you may take one from the sanctuary or take one from here later after the 10:45 service. Again, a thank you to all who help with these major services and all of their work. A couple of things that you can be signing up for today. We're doing a picture directory at the end of April, so I'd love for you to sign up back there with Carol Cook to get an appointment to have your picture taken. Also, there's a sign up for the all-member, new-member, all-y'all-come potluck that's in 2 weeks, to celebrate us as a gathering of disciples, even if you're kind of new around here and just want to see what it means to be a part of this gathering, we'd love to have you there. The sign-up's back there. And Pastor Gary Schar from Beautiful Savior in Antioch will be coming to share his gift of music and songwriting with us that day. And then finally, if today kicked off spiritual conversations in your head, trying to figure out some things about your life, some things about your faith, if it kicked off those kind of conversations, I'd love to continue those conversations, whether it's over coffee, my office, while we take a walk, anything like that. On our cart back there is a clipboard with appointment time. So if you're just hoping to find a time to talk, please sign up for a time before you leave today. God's blessings. I look forward to greeting you at the door.